Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
Well, that sucked. Not a lot of ways to describe what just happened in Dallas any other way. I am J.P. Finley. This is Redskins Talk Podcast. The Redskins just got their ass kicked in Dallas. And
kicked it their own selves.
Right. They started by kicking their own ass and then got their ass kicked late in the second half. So it was a lot of kicking. Not necessarily good. Again, let me try to start this thing again. J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We are here. We're actually on the field in Jerry World. Tandler's here.
What up?
Mitch is here.
What up?
Still a local celebrity. I mean, what the hell, man? Where do we go here? Redskins were terrible. The early turnovers killed them. Just totally sabotaged. When you're playing a winnable game, and when you're on the road, you can't turn the ball over. And they did it early and often.
I think many of us thought that Jameson Crowder would be a key factor in this game, but we didn't think it would be on the negative side, not on the thought it would be more on the positive side. He came in as the hottest Redskin offensively.
Right.
And he left kind of – I mean, to his credit, he did talk to the media afterwards.
Yeah, he owned it.
Everybody's questions, he owned it. But guess what? That doesn't do a heck of a lot of good after the scoreboard has hit final.
Yeah, man. Gosh, what a disappointment. Mitch, hit me with your reaction.
I mean, kind of whatever you guys just said. There's not really a whole lot to say. I mean, it was about...
That's like the most boring thing you've ever said. Kind of whatever you guys just said.
I was just trying to do my best Tandler impression, that's all.
I still have this microphone. I could beat you over the head. No, I couldn't.
No, that wouldn't work out well for you. It might feel better than whatever we just watched for the last 3 hours.
That's true. I could beat myself on the head with a microphone.
I mean, that was
kind of what the Redskins
did. Was as bad as we've seen this team play in 2 years. I guess outside the Giants game in Week 17.
The Panthers game was pretty damn similar
to the Giants game.
It was 17. Pretty damn
Although,
similar.
No, it wasn't. That game was competitive in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's
this game was long over.
The one thing that we've been talking about that we've lauded the Redskins about is just that even when they've been losing games, they've been keeping them close. They've been in them. This was not that. This was definitely not that.
Tandler, go.
JP, I just, you know, people said they were flat, and I don't think they were, but I don't think they responded well to adversity.
No.
And maybe it was too much. You know what? I mean, they have held together that line with duct tape and chewing gum all year long.
The injuries finally popped them.
But Morgan Moses being out, the only guy who would...
What the hell with Ty Nsekhe?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Ty's been a good player, and he was terrible.
He was terrible.
I wonder if he's hurt too. I mean, he just had surgery. Your core is a pretty big part of moving around.
That probably won't be 100% until sometime in April or May, I wouldn't think.
Well, and now, man, the conversation is who's getting shut down. I mean, you think Trent plays another game this year?
He insisted that he will not.
He will not
get shut down. That he wants to play.
It's not, he insisted that he wants to play. I don't think he insisted that he wouldn't get shut down. I mean, he has a
important delineation
knee surgery getting ready to happen that, you know, we don't know what the extent of it that is. And if it's a major knee surgery, we're talking how many months of recovery. Right. Do you want to run that into the beginning of training camp? Well, and all
and
that
we're
jazz?
Probably they're not mathematically eliminated yet. Right? I mean, they can't be.
You know what? I bet that, I don't know.
I bet they're
pretty
close. I think
they could be after if the wrong teams win on Sunday.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns were 0-10, and they weren't mathematically eliminated yet last week.
The AFC sucks.
The AFC 6 wild card is a team with 5 wins or something. Golly. I hope nobody's tuning in tonight to feel better because we're not delivering much good news.
No rays of sunshine emanating from here. That's
for
sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just – so a lot of people on Twitter hit me and said no game balls after this one. You know what, people of Twitter, you're right. I'm not giving out a single damn game ball. If you guys feel differently.
No, I 100% agree. One of the things that we talked about a lot is how good of a game plan Jay Gruden's put together and how good the offense has looked, especially with those first 15 scripted plays. Today, I didn't think he put together a very good game plan. There were a lot of drops and whatnot. I felt like he felt like the offense floundered early and took that deep shot to Doxson.
See, the Crowder interception was at the goal line. Like, even if they just get three there, even if they just get a field goal
there, first and goal,
it's an entirely different game. You know what I mean? It's 3-0. Cowboys weren't doing anything at that point. The Cowboys are kind of in their own heads. We haven't moved the ball in 4 games. We can't do anything. You know, Cowboys didn't get their first down until the last play of the first quarter. The Redskins were right in this thing. They just kept giving the ball up. To me, the backbreaker was a punt return.
Right.
It was 10-0, and the defense had kind of gotten a stop to hold them to a 3 instead of 6. And then that punt return, 17-0, doors blown off.
Yeah. I would like to give out a game ball.
Ooh. This is scandalous.
Till you hear it. It's going to ex-Redskin Alfred Morris.
Oh, Taylor's trolling,
dude. He got his first 100-yard game since leaving the team, 127 yards, 27 carries. And he was the guy, when the Redskins had some hope of a comeback and, you know, still had the beating heart, he was the guy who stuck the knife in it, just ripping off 6, 7, 11, 15 yards.
Could not get
yards.
Stops. And I talked to A.J. Francis after the game, and we're going to play that audio when we get done talking. And A.J. was like, the offense kind of did us in with the turnovers in the first half, and then defense did us in the second half because we could not get stops. Now, Taylor, you're trolling a little bit giving him the game ball, but I'll go all in. I had Alfred going in fantasy tonight, and I think he put up like 18, 19 points against my boy Jesse Parks.
127 and a TD. He still can't catch.
Mitch literally just dropped the mic. I don't know if he was trying to be cool, but that was – that was a Kirk Cousins-Samaje Perine exchange, and the fault is on the running back, not the quarterback.
Oh, you mean the bad snap? You just hand it to me so that I can get run over by whatever Seattle Seahawk defender is running at me? Man. My only point about the play calling –
Real quick, you're not giving out a game ball, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Taylor's trolling.
It's funny. As the game's going, you start thinking about it, and like, you got to the middle of the third quarter, and I was just like, the fourth quarter, unless something turns drastically, there is no game ball. There were no game balls to be given out. But back to my point on the offense, real quick, was that the Cowboys' offense wasn't moving. Like you said, it was in their head. They had a chance to stick a knife in them, score couple field goals, a touchdown field goal, get some points on the board and really put the pressure on them, and they never did it.
I mean, I just
no.
I feel like we've been talking for 45 minutes already. I just checked and we've been talking for like 6 minutes. But we're just going in circles talking about how shitty this game was. And there's not much to add, right?
No.
Is it even worth doing goats? Crowder?
Crowder was a goat. You know, Cousins, the thing is, it's not like when he fumbled twice in the pocket, I believe. One got lost. Held the ball way too long. But, you know, also, both times, he had a grip on the ball. It's not like, you know, his arm was back and it got knocked out. I mean, that happens, right? That's just bad luck. He didn't hold on to the ball well at all. One interception, fourth down throw down the middle, that was his fault. And then, of course, the other one clearly going through Crowder's hands was not his fault. But, you know, I don't think he played particularly well, whether that's deserving of a goat among in a game where there was a herd of goats.
You know what's pretty crazy, man? Turnovers are such a killer. Because listen to these stats. On third downs, the Skins were 6 of 14. Cowboys were 7 of 14. The Skins had more net yards in this game than Dallas did. The Skins, Dallas ran 65 plays. The Redskins ran 60. I mean, statistically, a lot of this is right there. And then you get to turnovers, 4 for the Redskins. 4 turnovers for the Redskins. Cowboys had 0.
The Cowboys, a team that had 8 turnovers in their last 3 games.
And look, I'm not going to get caught
because
up.
You know why? Because they've been playing from behind.
Well, that's what
if
I was just going to say.
The Redskins have gotten in the end zone, gotten a field goal, they would have been playing from behind.
I am not a guy that gets caught up in did Kirk pile up garbage stats, all that. And I know plenty do. But this is not a recipe for the Redskins to win games. Even without the turnovers, 250 passing yards and 40 rush yards, 50 rush yards. That's not how they win.
That's not a good look. But the turnovers come, like you said, from when the Cowboys are playing behind and not capitalizing, starting at the 50-yard line, the 45-yard line, 2 straight drives is a killer. I mean, it sets the tone.
Yeah, man. So I didn't get to see it. Obviously, I was working. Hopefully, you were watching our air and not these guys. But Twitter went crazy in the NFL Network postgame show. I guess maybe Marshall Faulk, Steve Smith. I don't know.
Maybe Dungy?
Dungy would have been on NBC.
Dungy was here.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been on the NFL Network postgame. Regardless, the conversation was had. This is why. So the report came out that the Skins want to see what Kirk does over the last 5 games. These ex-players were having the conversation. This is why they need to see more, because they didn't see enough out of Kirk tonight. Partly correct, because they didn't. Kirk was not good enough tonight. I don't know that he was bad, but he wasn't good enough. He wasn't good. I don't think he was good.
Just like he wasn't good against the Giants in Week 17 last year, just like he wasn't good against Carolina in Week 15 last year.
Winnable games.
I know some people don't want to hear that, but and definitely it was a, you know, he had in all 3 of those games I just mentioned, the team as itself had issues. It wasn't just Cousins, sure. But did Cousins lift the team up? Did he rise them above some adversity in what were in winnable games? I don't know if tonight was ever a really truly winnable game, except in the miracle category.
That's one of those things that we've talked about, is that in a franchise quarterback and a long-term deal quarterback, you want a guy who's gonna bring it out and who's gonna bring it out and win a game for you. And you know, the early struggles and the turnovers, you wanted Kirk to take a moment and win the game for you, make a couple big plays and do something of substance. And he just kind of didn't really ever get going, you know, make the big play or get the offense moving.
And they had the one drive before half that looked pretty good, and then it just never materialized. Piran couldn't run. Piran went out for the concussion.
And you know that they got it back. Okay, the drive at the end of the half made it 17-7. And they had 2 shots.
That first,
and they got the ball to midfield both times.
If they score to make it 17-14 there, it's a very different game.
Right.
And they didn't.
The Cowboys would feel like they were trailing.
Right.
Yeah. There were two big moments for me on the sideline. You know, when you look at the Redskins bench area, one side's offense, one side's defense. And the 2 times, you know, Swearinger came off the field after they gave up that 1-yard plunge to Alfred Morris, walked over to the offensive side of the bench where obviously all the offensive guys were getting ready to go back on the field, took a knee in the corner by himself, away from everybody, away from the defense. You could see the anger, the angst in his face. And Doxson, after when they turned the ball over, with 2 minutes left in the game, whatever it was, 3 minutes left after the little
right.
scuffle.
The fourth down interception.
After his little scuffle. He did
that?
The same thing.
I was in the elevator.
So I don't know who the DB that was on him, but the two of them were kind of jawing all game. And the play before was a quick pass, and Doxson got the back of his jersey yanked by whoever the DB was, and he kind of turned around and flailed at him, you know, did what DBs and receivers do, you know. But it was kind of cool seeing him have that fire. But after that little altercation, he walked over to the defensive side right over there and sat down and just had the million-yard stare, you know, looking out. And those guys, you know, these guys normally – even at the end of games, go and sit with their receiving or with their groups and talk to the coaches and whatnot. And those were just kind of two moments that really like stood out for me where I was, you know, where you don't really see Swearinger away from the DBs, away from, you know, trying to hype up the guys. That was a very, very frustrated group. I think you could see how frustrated they were in those moments.
It was that kind of game. definitely one for frustration, which is not a particularly useful emotion, I've heard some people say, but it was there.
Quickly, and
boy, talk about damning with faint praise.
Nah, Junior Connections, our squad, they're great people. Check them out. They'll give you a ride to work. Let's
Carpool Now.
Carpool is
the app.
Taylor knows.
What's the website?
What? You know the
website? CommuterConnections.org.
Yeah, attaboy. We never really did goats besides Crowder. I think there are others.
Yeah.
Breland had two questionable PI calls.
Yeah, I don't think they were questionable.
I think the second one was
you don't look back for the ball. That's an automatic flag.
Anybody else? Everybody? Is this game balls and everybody's a goat kind of thing?
Yeah.
Mitchell, you got anybody official?
A whole herd of goats.
I agree. A whole herd of goats. Whole herd of goats piling onto an airplane, flying back to land in Ashburn 4:30 in the morning, and
getting some days off though.
Get a little mini bye week here,
probably
and
need.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. What are you doing a little mini bye week?
I don't know. Maybe you go watch your college team play in for their championship, or do something. But boy, they certainly will not be enjoying it very much when they think back on this.
Ah, jeez, we are really uplifting the people. More bad news. Taylor won over-unders.
Yes.
We both were wrong. We were both wrong on P. Ryan going over 75 yards. We were both wrong on the –
No, we were both right.
We both thought the Cowboys would score.
Over 10.5.
Both of us thought the Cowboys were going to show up for this game.
Right.
I don't think we thought the Skins would be so terrible.
Right.
But Taylor won on – Cousins going
passing yards.
You went under, I went over.
Right.
Taylor gets the win. That gets you to what, 7-5 now?
Yeah.
So you're still one away from another Starbucks.
Win away from
and Mitch,
Starbucks.
What do I get?
I mean, you get a big eh.
I do.
But Taylor did call for a buck and a quarter for P. Ryan, remember? Buck and a quarter.
He did.
You called for a buck and a quarter. You thought you were pretty hip, too.
Well, I'm still hip, but he didn't.
Real
get the buck
sentence
and a quarter.
Today, Taylor said. What'd you say about hip hop? Just you saying the word hip hop was pretty fantastic.
I said it was something like,
I don't want to listen to hip hop.
Yeah, no, you were playing some, I guess, rock music or whatever it was, newer rock music that I didn't
LCD
really
sound
recognize.
System.
And he said, Do you like this? And I said, not a whole lot.
No, you said no.
I said no.
Yeah.
But then I said, well, I'd rather listen to this than hip hop.
Yeah, there it was. You know what sucks, the worst part of this, is now the next month sucks. Now we got to start asking questions that suck, and players aren't going to want to answer the question. You know, I mean, this reverts to sucky world, and we've been out of that for 2 years.
Yeah, at times I put in my five takeaways post, you know, is this, you know, you got to call, is it the coach, is it the quarterback, is it the injuries, is it the front office, is it some combination of the above? Where this team just can't win these games that it has to win. You know, with one exception, going down to Philadelphia in 2015, you know, that seemed to set a great tone. But since then, you know, and even actually, you know what? Even, you know, what really killed this season was New Orleans. I mean, that was the one that really put them behind the eight ball.
I mean, Kansas City, too.
Yeah, but they didn't have a a 15-point lead with 6 minutes left in that game.
Agreed.
They could have won in Kansas City, but they did not have a big lead with time running out.
I mean, this just exacerbates every conversation, every offseason conversation that we thought we had another month to hold off on.
Right.
And now we're going to have to start having them, which is no fun for anybody. And these last four games.
Four?
You know, I don't want to say they could win all four, they could lose all four. It kind of doesn't matter. But at the same time,
it very much matters.
But I was going to say, the more they lose, the more pressure starts coming down on coaching staffs and all these guys on one-year deals who are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to make big-time decisions on. It's, you know, I really hope it doesn't turn into the 2014 season, you know, everyone quits on it.
They need a win, and going to L.A. is going to be really hard. The Chargers are surging. The Chargers have two really, really, really good pass rushers. This next game is a bear, and I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
It's also the NFL where, as every time you think you got it figured out and you know that the Redskins must win and the Cowboys can't move the ball, all of a sudden the Cowboys roll them. So, what, next week they go to the Chargers and everyone thinks the Chargers are rolling and the Redskins can't do anything on offense and they have a fifth-string O-line running, you know, all of a sudden they put up some points and win a game.
I think Morgan Moses will play.
You think Morgan Moses will play next week?
Yes.
He's got an MRI tomorrow. Why don't we wait and see?
Because you don't wait and see on a hot take like that. You just do it.
Taylor's hot take.
He has powered through injuries like you would not freaking believe.
Did you talk to him post-game? I talked to him post-game. Here's what he said. He's like, man, this has been hurting me for 8 weeks. It's been killing me. This is the worst it's ever felt. He said nothing's broken. It seems like ligaments are in play. I kind of think you're right, though. He has powered through a ton.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see, especially as poorly as Ty Nsekhe played. You know, he hasn't practiced there, I guess. He's been practicing mostly at left tackle. It shouldn't make a difference if you're the swing tackle.
Did you guys see both Morgan and Trent walking out of the locker room? I mean, it looked worse than Tandler.
What?
It looked worse than when Tandler is slowly, methodically, gingerly walking down a sideline.
Wait, what the hell is he talking about?
I don't know, but...
What are you talking about?
Do you have a better analogy?
No, what are you talking about? Who? Moses?
And Trent.
Leaving the stadium. So you're saying they looked as bad as how it is when Taylor's walking?
That's what I was getting at.
Gee, thanks, man.
It's a pretty solid shot right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually a terrible shot.
Well,
you're the one who's got his foot in a boot or a cast a lot more often than me.
All right, dude. Both of you stop. Taylor's also not giving up the mic, so only Mitch and I are sharing a mic. If our engineers are listening, get us a thing that we can input three mics into. I don't know if that's possible. There's an idea. Both of my cell phones are about to die, so I got that working for me. All right, this is our last thing before we go to AJ. The Redskins now sit at 5-7 with four games left.
Four.
5-7, dude. They were 5-6.
They were 5-6, right.
Okay. Is it getting too late for you, Papa T?
No.
I'll drive home.
It's okay.
I mean, JP is not a math guy.
Yeah.
And he just ran circles around you.
Yo, Mitch is taking all the shots at Tandler tonight. And Tandler, for all things considered, is oddly not grumpy tonight. Usually you're very grumpy, and you seem in relatively good spirits despite that.
I got to try to uplift people's spirits to some extent after a miserable game.
But we're about to go to AJ, but we end with – I think we've covered everything we normally do. If we miss something, it's because we're a little shell-shocked. So give me a break.
We got 10 days to the next game, a couple of podcasts we can catch up.
Yeah, we'll catch up. All right, Tandler. The Redskins are 5-7 now. You got that, right?
Yes, I have it.
Redskins are 5-7. What do they finish the year at? I am going to say the same record I predicted when the season started, 7-9.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, you want me to go? I was going to go 8-8.
So you got them going 3-1?
I got them going 3-1 the rest of the way. I think they go As crazy as it sounds, sitting here under the the bright night sky of...
No, well, they closed the roof.
It's closed now. I think they go to L.A., and I think they beat the Chargers in stupid fashion just because that's what the Redskins do, that's what the NFL does. I just think that's what happens.
It could certainly happen.
Go ahead. I will go also with 8-8. Maybe losing next week in San Diego and just kind of in their darkest hour, winning the two home games, Cardinals, Broncos, and then going up to New York with Davis Webb starting and knocking out the Giants.
Here's what I'll tell you is I wrote after the Saints game to stop talking about firing Jay Gruden. After that game, I very much felt that way. I don't think the conversation even starts yet after this loss. You lose to Geno Smith or Davis Webb week 17, that's going to be a hell of a conversation.
It might be a conversation, but it's not going to happen.
A lot of football left, Taylor.
I'm just saying, knock on wood. When I was saying the last four games matter or don't matter, they lose these last four.
Right. If they lose out, things are going to get dicey.
That's what
a lot of years left on that deal, a lot of money left on that deal.
Oh, RT, gosh.
Simple-minded. All right, we're going to go to AJ Francis. Sorry, we probably didn't cheer you guys up, and I don't know what to say about that. Taylor, I tell you what, you know what the folks could use? You got a joke?
No.
Come on, man. You can't think of one?
I can't think of one.
All right. Well, you know what we'll do this week? Or what? I don't even know what damn day it is. The next podcast, we will feature Tandler's Got Jokes. The people need it, Taylor.
I will do my best.
You know what else is going to cheer people up? Leaving us reviews and getting JP Finley into a Santa suit for Christmas. Listen to the podcast, subscribe, leave reviews. Let's get JP into a Santa suit.
Just toss to AJ.
And here's AJ Francis and JP Finley.
And JP owes you a beer if you made this far.
And if you're a lawyer, none of this happened.
The former Terp AJ Francis, who's been on the squad several times, off the squad several times, and comes in on a night when it was not pretty. JP?
Thanks, Mr. Chick. AJ, thank you for coming on with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's start with the notion that perhaps you guys didn't come prepared for this game. Is that accurate?
I don't think so. I think that we had early turnovers that put us in bad positions, that the defense was able to stand tall and keep the team in the game in the first half. And then in the second half, the offense started playing very well, and the defense didn't play well, myself included, in the second half. So there's a lot of things that we can build on. But after this game, I don't think that we came in ill-prepared. I think it was more just they got off to a hot start, and we had to wait for them to cool down to try to get back in it, and then it ended up getting away from us in the second half.
How hard is it for you guys when you're trying to stop Dallas on short fields and they're already in the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but it's part of the job, you know. We don't complain about it. We don't, worry about it because there's going to be time. Like today, we couldn't stop the run in the second half. We did a pretty good job in the first half, but in the second half, we couldn't stop the run. So, we have things that we need to work on too. So when the offense or special teams or any other phase of the game puts us in, bad field positions, it's on us to still bow up, and it's on us to stop them from scoring. We were able to keep them to a field goal one of the times. We weren't able to keep them out of the end zone the other times, and that was just not a good performance by us on defense in the second half.
And just when that Dallas offense gets rolling and they're able to run the ball like they did, when they have a lead, how hard is it to try to defend them?
It's very difficult to when you know a team's going to run the ball, it's not hard to be prepared for it. But when a team has the lead and they can run the ball, they can open up their entire run game offense. So they can give you looks they haven't given you in a long time, or they can just keep repeating looks that you haven't been able to stop that night. So it makes you bow up, and it makes you try to make plays. And what ends up happening is players end up getting out of themselves, trying to make plays to try to make up for the fact that we're losing. We need to make a play to get back in the game. And then myself included, trying to make too many plays, you end up making stupid mistakes that cost you.
All right, and we got to kind of back away and look at the big picture on this thing. The seventh loss likely means the playoff chase is over. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case last season. It's a different reality for the December games this year. How do you guys keep going?
I mean, that's our job. We're professionals. We're going to show up when, whether it's Sunday or Monday, whenever we're supposed to be back, we're going to show up and we're going to get ready to beat the Chargers. I mean, that's what we have to do. We don't sit here and worry about the fact that, you know, maybe we are out of the playoffs, but that doesn't mean that these games aren't important. That doesn't mean that we don't need to go out and represent ourselves, represent our city, represent our team with the most pride that we have, because at the end of the day, it's our job. There's not really anyone who needs motivation in any football game, whether you're going to the playoffs or not, shouldn't be playing football.
All right, fun one to get out of here quickly. This is a fresh jacket. Is this color rush oriented?
No, you know, I did wear it because of the color rush, but I got it when I wore it to Preakness.
Ah.
You know, yeah, I went out there. I'm sweating bad. It was probably because shit was making fun of the fact that I've been cut so many times. Thanks a lot, bro.
Yeah, that was
I mean, geez.
Heck of an intro, Mr.
Yeah,
Chick.
Thanks, bro.
We're supposed
to be Maryland guys.
Wait, I never
like
mentioned
that.
The word cut. I just said you're on the team, you're off the team. That's all.
Well, that's usually what that means.
That usually is.